So please offer a warm Valley Group welcome to Kat.
Hi, everyone. My name's Kat. I'm an alcoholic. Can you guys hear me? Yeah. All right. Can you hear me now? All righty. So I'm a little bit nervous, but I'll get warmed up here in a minute. Bill, thank you so much. It's always an honor to be able to share my experience, strength, and hope, to share my story. Okay, thank you. Which is really crazy for me to say because growing up in the type of home that I grew up in, we didn't talk about anything. And the way that I grew up, it was like, I mean, everything was a secret. And so little did I know that that getting here and being able to share what my life was like was going to give me so much freedom. And no one could have told me that. Actually, when I first got here and I heard that you're only as sick as your secrets, I thought, you know what, I'm doomed. You know, there's no way, because my whole life was a secret. My sobriety date is February 1st, 2004, so I'm 13 years old. A teenager. Yeah, and I still act like one. So I was born and raised in Fresno, and my mom was an absolute alcoholic drug addict, like before her time. And there were six kids. We had six kids and six dads. So mom liked to party. She was a party girl. She'd hit the bar and dance, and next thing you knew, whatever you want to call it, that dance, and then she'd come home and we'd have a new daddy. And then there'd be like a brother and sister. So it was a very busy household. There was a lot that went on, and I didn't really understand it. I was the middle child, and I felt like my place at home always was to kind of keep the peace, because there was a lot of crazy abuse that went on as a child, physical abuse, sexual abuse. It was it was hard. You know, it was really hard. And as the middle child, I always wanted to make sure that, like, my little brothers and sisters felt safe. And so that was the role I took on. I'm going to just tell you guys right now, like, I freaking cry through my story, but I am so excited to be sober and that I have a different life today. And I cry and they are tears of joy, because I don't have to live like that anymore. Thanks. So I'm going to try to speed it forward because I have a lot to share about my sobriety, but I want to share a little bit what it was like. My sponsor told me I need to always share my story. It's my story because it's a story of hope. Because I know a lot of times people think that when you come from where I came from, that you can't get here, and that's bullshit. We can get here if we want it bad enough, you know? And I wanted it bad. So when I was 7 years old, well, first off, so growing up, like, I could never, ever, like, have friends over, because then they would see what our childhood was, or what our household was like, and the same thing, like, I could never go and be at other kids' house, because then maybe I would see what that was like. So it was just, like, kind of being in these walls with all of our little sick secrets, and I used to, like, take my brothers and sisters into the closet, like, when the fights and abuse would start, and we had this imaginary friend in the closet with us that, like, kept us safe. And we'll talk more about that imaginary friend later, because, like, he's still with me. So, like, when I was 7 years old,
Thanks.
Been a little softer. But thanks anyway, Mike. So when I was 7 years old, my dad number six, stepdad number six, beat my mom to death in front of all of us kids. And I needed a drink. But instead, I huffed air it extra dry. Because that's what 7-year-old thinks like that. Like, I mean, I was truly born an alcoholic. I have an addictive personality. And it's like, I don't even know what would make me think that it would take me away. But it did. And then I took my first drink at 8. And I am a true alcoholic, but drugs are a little bit of my story. So I'll share a little bit about them. And by 12, I was slamming heroin. So I never was really a little girl. And I never wanted to be like my mom. I went through high school and graduated high school. I partied the whole time. I started dealing drugs when I was in high school. I was like the bad kid, the bad seed, and I thought that that was what my destiny was. I didn't know that there was anything different than that. And I never felt good in my skin. I never felt like I belonged. So I always like played like I was this really tough girl. And when I was just so afraid of everything. But if I played tough, then you guys would stay away from me, you know? And so when I was 18, I got married and then I got divorced. And then when I was 21, I got married and I got divorced. And are we seeing the pattern? Like, I'm not going to be like my mama, but damn it, like, I fucking loved men. I'm telling you. I was like, I got it. The only thing I did different was I didn't have any kids. I was like, I am not bringing a child into this world because I thought that all they would ever get is what I got. And so I got my first drunk driving at 21. I got my second drunk driving at 21 and a half. I got my third drunk driving at 21 and three quarters. They sent me to a 5x5 program and said, you might have a problem. Like, what? So they told me to go to AA meetings. My older sister is 10 years older than me. I didn't even know what an AA meeting was. And but I knew that she had mentioned to me that she had gone to an AA meeting. Now, she was a really mean drunk. I was a super friendly drunk. And so I really understood why she needed AA meetings. But I'm like, wait a minute, I'm just like a happy drunk. You know, I'm just a party girl. I'm really good at it. And so I didn't really think that I was doing anything wrong. And then so I called her and I said, hey, you know, I got in some trouble and they need me to go to an AA meeting. And you know how like you AA people are, like you get all super excited. And she was like, oh my God, I'd love to take you to a meeting, you know. And I'm thinking my life is freaking over, you know. And she's like all super happy. And so she takes me to my first meeting. And when I walked in, everyone was really old. I mean, because I'm young. And they were really old and they still smoked in the meetings. And I just thought, oh my God, my life is absolutely over. And then I sat there and I listened through the meeting. And at the end of the meeting, several of the people came up and they welcomed me and told me that they was glad that I was there. And I felt a feeling. And I didn't know what the feeling was because I never really felt it before. And I know today that that feeling was love. And I felt welcome and I felt like I was at home. And I knew that I belonged there. I had a little bit of a hard time at first sitting through the meetings because no one told me I had to stop doing cocaine. So So I did that for a minute. And I'm telling you, like, when you're a wiry personality like me, and it's like now you've taken the alcohol away and all you're doing is cocaine, it's tough to sit still at a meeting. And no one ever said anything to me. But I was in therapy. They also, at the 5x5 program that I went through, had told me that maybe I needed some therapy. And so they had got me with this really amazing woman who actually got me to talk, and I was really honest with her, and we talked a lot about my childhood, and she had said, you know, what would you think if you just didn't do anything, like, for 1 year, like, just try it, like, no cocaine, no alcohol, no pills, no anything. And I'm like, well, what I think about that is that sounds stupid, but I was really wanting to do something different. And so I tried it, and I ended up getting a year, and then I got 2 years, and I was working as a waitress in this restaurant, and this guy walked in, and he was like 1 day out of rehab. You guys know the story, right? Because we get each other. Anyway, he was 1 day out of rehab. He was a heroin user, and he walked in. He asked me out, and I married him. I mean, I was in love, you know, and it was a crazy journey that I went on. Now, this is marriage number 3, okay, so in case anyone's counting, because I love to get married, I just don't know how to stay married, so I married him, and he had never gotten clean. He was the type of addict that taped enough oxy in his briefcase behind the lining to get him through his 30 days of rehab. So I basically spent the next 10 years of our marriage trying to fix him. So I dropped out of meetings, and that became my new addiction, is I was going to help him get better. And I did leave at one point, and he talked me into coming back. He says, if you come back home, we'll have a baby. Now, I'd never wanted a baby, but by this time, I'd done 6 years of intense therapy and realized that, and I remember the day my therapist said, your child never has to have a childhood like you had, and it was like this, this ray of sunshine, thinking that, like, maybe I could give her something different. And so I went home, and we had a baby, and things didn't change with him. And by the time she was 4, I left. I took her and I left. I had 11 years clean and sober. The very first weekend that he had the baby, my girlfriends called me and said, let's go out. We walked into a bar, and I walked up to the bar, and I ordered a drink. I backed it up with a shot, and within an hour, I was in the parking lot doing lines. And it was on. And some of the things that I did wrong was everything. I didn't get a sponsor. I didn't do the steps. I didn't listen to you people. I let you love me, and I took it. And I gave you nothing in return. Because I thought I was smarter than that. So now I have a 4-year-old daughter, and I'm a single mom, and I am out there, like, running amok. And pretty much given her the life that I had, being the mom that I never wanted to be. I stayed out for 8 years, and It was tough. Like it was a tough 8 years out there. I thought it was bad when I came in the first time, like with the drunk drivings. But in that 8 years, I went places I never knew that I would go. I got really mixed up in the drug world, drinking the whole time, and I drug her through that whole thing. Her dad also was out there using too. So here she had a mom that was out there and a dad that was out there. And she was such a sweet little girl. And then one weekend he came to get her to take her to a soccer game. And he never brought her home. And when I called, he just said, "I'm keeping her." And I had full custody of her. And at that point, I did the only thing that I knew how to do as I got more high and I got more drunk. She was gone for a long time, and I ended up involved with some like really bad people. I mean, I hung out in bars and meth labs, and I mean, you name it, I've done it, and it got super crazy. And one day I got pulled over for no registration, and I just happened to have an ounce of meth on me with a scale, and it was bagged up, and I tried to convince the cop that it was my personal use, and they didn't believe me, and they took me to jail and got me for sales, and basically at that point I was going to prison if I wasn't willing to do drug treatment. So now I have 8 years out there and I'm just a mess. The last thing I want to do is do a treatment program, but I don't want to go to prison, so I decide that I'm going to do the treatment program, and they tell me I have to go to AA meetings. Like the treatment program was no big deal. Like testing was no big deal. Like paying the fines was no big deal. You guys were a fucking death sentence. An AA meeting? Like seriously, like that was the last thing I wanted to do, because honest to God, I thought I was going to walk in and everyone was going to judge me and be like, "Really? Like, what'd you do while you were out there?" I mean, and just like look down at me, on me. And what happened was I walked into that meeting, and that feeling that I had like all those years ago, that love, I felt it again, and nobody fucking missed me. No one knew where I was. No one asked about me. They just said, "Welcome." And my journey began. I immediately knew I needed to do something different, and I was completely desperate. I got a sponsor right away. Before I had walked into the meetings, I literally knew that I couldn't stop drinking, I couldn't stop using, and I dropped to my knees and I said, "Dude, help me." And that was my prayer. I didn't believe in God. There was no God. No God would be out there if he could like have a child grow up the way that I grew. So, I mean, absolutely, I didn't believe in God. And my prayer. And then for some crazy ass reason that next day, I didn't go out and do my normal hustle. I didn't like have to get up and get well. I didn't have to drink. And at the end of that day, I mean, I didn't feel great. But at the end of that day, I said, "Thanks, dude." And that was the beginning of my journey. And that's how simple it was for me. Because when I said that, "Help me, dude," and "Thanks, dude," it was from my heart. I mean, I meant it. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know, but it was so sincere. And I felt like it was answered. You know, I mean, I literally just kept putting days together. And next thing you know, it's like, you know, I had a little bit of time and I thought, "You know what, I'm going to get my daughter back." Now, I hadn't seen her for like 3 years. I didn't know where she was. And at that time, Facebook wasn't around, but MySpace was. So I put out on MySpace what she looked like, what she liked to do. I'm like, "You know, this is her name. She's a soccer player. She's a good girl. This is how old she is. Does anybody know where she is?" And someone responded. And she was in Atlanta, Georgia. and I got a hold of her through MySpace, and we started chatting. And somehow I came up with some master plan, because you know how creative we are, of how to get them to get her here to Fresno so I could see her one last time. And her and my plan was like, the minute you get in the car, I'm taking off, because I still had custody of her, you know. And it's like, and her dad was such a mess, and he had just dropped her off with some people, you know. And I got her back. And I ended up moving in with my sister, and she was thrilled, and I started doing meetings and got a sponsor. I remember sitting down with my sponsor. We already talked about my step one. I'm going to talk a little bit about the steps. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. My sponsor said, dude, is your higher power. That's your God. And I would put your dude, who's so strong and so big in your world, up against anyone's God. And I could deal with that. That worked for me. I didn't have to call it God. I knew that I had messed everything up, so I made a decision to turn my will and my lives over to the care of dude as I understood him. And I didn't care whether you guys liked it or not. And you know what? And let me just tell you, to this day, like 13 years later, like I have people I don't even know come up to me and it's like, I love your dude. I'm like, right? I mean, it's, yeah, it's good and it's big. And, you know, then I did step four. I made a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself, and I thought I had no resentments. Like, I literally was like, you know what? I got this. It's good. I'm not mad at anybody. My sponsor's like, you know what? Let's just try this. Let's just sit down. Surely you've got some sort of resentments. Where I could start with it was I was like truly like a thief when I was out there. So, I mean, I did a lot of like big time robberies. So we started with like institutions. And so I know it's like kind of crazy. Like, you're probably looking at me thinking, this girl has not done all this shit, but it's like, truly, I did all that shit. Yeah. Not that I'm proud of it, but it's like, yeah. I literally did a real thorough four step. The problem that I had was when it got to my part. And I was like, I didn't even understand that. Thank God I had a sponsor that sat down and let me take baby steps and like explained how it could be my part. Like, I didn't know how a resentment against the stepdads, like, where's my part? I'll tell you what happens today is that inevitably I get sponsees that have gone through that same shit and I get to help them find their part. My part was that I took that through adulthood. I used that to punish men. I used it to punish myself. I used it to not feel good about myself. Did I have any part in the actual action? Hell no. But it's like, but what I did with all of that was completely demoralizing for myself. So when we got to step six, I told my sponsor, this one's super simple because I don't have any character defects. And I meant it. I mean, seriously, I'm like, you got this? Like, you're looking at this, right? And when we sat down and we started, like, we, like, literally, like, had to pull a list off of the internet. And when we did that, we're looking at it. And she's like, read through it and see if anything, like, kind of, like, resonates with you. I'm like, no. She's like, and then so she would start these words. It was so cute. We'd sit on either end of the couch and she'd be like, sell. And I'd be like, a little bit more. Fish. Selfish? What? I mean, like, she had to, like feed me like a little mama bird to a baby bird. I'm like, I don't even understand what you're talking about, you know? God bless her is all I have to say, is God bless her. So we did that, you know? And then Step 7, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. I wasn't so sure about all that. My character defects for me were my survival skills. And so when I looked at them, I told her these were the things that kept me alive when I was a little girl. And now you're asking me to ask dude to take them away? I don't know if I can do that. But everything had worked so far. My life had started to change. I mean, it was literally like crazy. I got a job. I went for a job. I'll tell this story because this is a great story. So, like, up until then, I'm on welfare, and it's like, and I'm just, you know, food stamps, and my sister comes to me, and she's like, you know what, you need to get a job. I was like, what? Okay, like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've been partying for so long, I'm like thinking all I know how to do is, you know, sell dope. And so, anyway, and I knew that I couldn't do that here. So I had done some, I'm really creative and kind of a self-proclaimed, like, interior designer. And so I put out on the internet an application, and it just said that I was looking for I was going to apply for any interior design or fashion design thing that, like, I could possibly find. Literally, I got a hit the next day, and they said, you know, we want to meet you. I told my daughter, we're moving to the Bay Area. Let's go. And she's like, right on. I mean, here I think I got this job. And the guy calls me, and he says, can I meet you in Fresno at a restaurant? I said, sure. Now, I have to go into a meeting. I'm sitting there crying because I have nothing to wear, because when I got here, I wore Levi's and lingerie tops to the meetings because I didn't know how to dress in a meeting. I didn't know what was right and what was wrong. So I had to borrow an outfit. They took me home. They put me in this beautiful Italian suit. They told me, you're going to go to this interview. You're going to kill it, you know? And I'm thinking, oh my God, I don't even know what I'm doing. I borrowed a car. I didn't have a car. I have a pay-as-you-go phone. I have a felony arrest. I'm like, what in the hell am I doing? And I walk in and I sit down to talk to this guy. He talks to me for about 20 minutes and he goes, okay, so don't answer right away. I want you to think about it. But what if we give you $30,000 a year plus commission? Can you sell? Bingo. I'm all about that. I'm like, can I sell? You have no idea. What am I selling? I said, okay, I'll think about it. I mean, I was crawling out of my skin. I'm thinking, are you serious? Like, this shit happens? And it's like, and this is the kind of miracles that happen around here, because I just kept doing the very next thing. And I went home and I told my sister, and then I went back and I got that job. And the reason I tell that story is because the first year, it's like, so I went from being on welfare. So the first year I made like $40,000. My second year in that job, I made $60,000. My third year in that job, I made $80,000. And my fourth year in that job, I made over six figures. And on my fourth year was when I was doing my financial amends. And I remember because I had a ton of them, my sponsor, I'm like, how do I even do this? She goes, pull your credit report. I'm like, what? But I did. I pulled my credit report and I had over $30,000 on my credit report. And I was so overwhelmed. She says, you're going to take one at a time. The same exact time I'm making that kind of money. So I got to pay off all of my debt in my fourth year on my credit report. And in my fifth year, I bought a house without a man, all by myself. And this is not for applaud. This is like, these are miracles. This is a girl from the wrong side of the tracks that got to make it because I did one thing right. I walked through the doors and I was willing.
That's right.
So I worked at that job, and I ended up quitting that job to start my own business, and went into interior design myself. I have to back up a little bit. So back up, and I'll tell this story because it's like I'm running out of time. But so on year one, my 1 year sobriety birthday, I get a phone call from my daughter's grandmother, and she tells me that Kylie is my daughter's name, by the way, that her dad had died of an overdose. I had 1 year. So my 1 year birthday, or my birthday and his anniversary of his death, very bittersweet day for me. And I just shared that with my daughter. She was a great student, 4.0, didn't do any drugs, straight edge. She was like, no, I got a mama and daddy that's done this. I don't need to do it. She graduates from high school. She's 18 years old. I have no reason to not trust her, so I set her up in an apartment. She gets started in college. I give her a bank account, a huge bank account, because she got a huge amount of money. So I give her a debit card. She was always so thrifty. And about 6 months after I move her in, one of her best friends from high school calls me at work and says, if you don't go get Kylie, she's going to die. And I'm like, what do you mean? And she said, she's slamming heroin every day. I go, she doesn't even smoke pot. You got to be wrong. And so I did what I was taught to do. I called a couple women from the program. I said, we got to go do a 12-step call. And they're like, okay, who? And I said, my daughter. And they're like, you don't get to do this. I go, I have to do this. And we went, and we went to her apartment, and it was a freaking shooting gallery. We walk in, and there's just needles and kids and shit everywhere. And she looks at me, and she's like, I go, what happened? And she's never lied to me. And she said, the first time that I watched a girl shoot up, she goes, I looked in her eyes, and I saw she didn't feel anything. And she goes, I hurt so bad from daddy dying, and I just wanted to feel like that. And from day one, she's like, I was hooked. So I spent 3 years basically putting her in and out of rehabs. And then one day she called me and said, you know, Mom, I need to get clean. I don't want to do it. I don't want to detox like at the hospital. I don't want to do the Suboxone. I don't want to do anything. I want to come home. I know you'll help me. Will you detox me at home? And she's like, I don't want to do drugs or come off of drugs. She's like, I need to feel the pain. I need to do it the way that you did it so that maybe I'll get it. And so I did that. And the reason I share that story is because the last time I shared here, it was like 5 years ago. And it's like, and I think Kylie had a month, right? And she has like 5 years and a month. No, I'm out of time. There's so much I'd want to share, but you people rock. We rock. And if you're sitting here and you don't want to be here, fucking welcome. I didn't want to be here either. And if you related to one single thing that I said, welcome. And I just want to thank each and every one of you for showing me that there is love. Thanks.